appreciate that. I really do appreciate these guys stepping in. Yes, update on Brother Phil Stevens. He is doing fantastic, which is amazing. And reason being is because he's actually a missionary to Zambia, Africa. And we've been praying for him now for a week or two. And what had happened, he ended up getting, correct me on this, sepsis. He ended up getting sepsis. When they got him to the hospital, they air flighted him to another region in Africa, and they did immediate surgery on him. They thought it was his heart. They actually split him open, thought he had had a heart attack. Well, they don't know why they did that, but anyway, ended up being sepsis once they got all the results back, and it was not looking good. His kidneys were shutting down. It was looking really, really bad, but we got a hold of the Lord, and a lot of us did. All over the world was praying for him, and today he just saw his update. Actually, it's 2017. We can look it up. That's what we can do now, because I don't want to misquote it. And I promise you, he is really one of our favorite missionaries. We support a lot of missionaries here, but he is a blessing, and he's just a great preacher. His ministry, he goes into the bush. I mean, that's what he does. He goes into the bush, and he'll take a tent with him, and he'll go in, and he'll go into regions where they don't have churches, and they've never heard the gospel, and even in his words, they've never seen a white man. That's what he'll tell you. And he goes in, and they plant churches. So this is the update. It says concerning, this is actually on our Facebook page. If you like Facebook, you can follow us on Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church Facebook page. It says a message from Melanie Stevens concerning our missionary Phil Stevens. Today's update. Wow, she says. Doctors are amazed. His infection is all but gone. Lungs clear, kidneys working, PSA level way down. He took a few steps today, and tomorrow they will work on getting him walking more. They are projecting letting him fly to the U.S. by middle of next week. She says, I'm astonished, but I should not be. And listen to this. And I promise you, medically speaking, and I'm not a doctor, but medically speaking, it wasn't looking good. And it wasn't looking good at all. And they pretty much had called her in, you know, and they had basically had called the family in. So said, projecting him to be able to fly to the U.S. middle next week. She says, I'm astounded, but I should not be. We serve a God of miracles, and my husband is truly a walking miracle. He is pretty much the talk of the hospital and a testimony of God's mercy and grace. Please be in prayer that he will regain his strength and that we'll find good tickets and that all will go smoothly. And just a precious, precious man. And a matter of fact, this Sunday, of course, Easter, but the following Sunday, remind me, and on a Sunday night, like we do periodically, we'll do our letters of encouragement. I prayed for you letters, and we'll do those on a Sunday night. Don't let me forget that, Brother Tommy, and we'll try to do that in the Sunday after Easter. So, all right, guys, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. The book of 1 John, chapter 3. We're going to finish up a sermon we started last week, just simply taking a look at God's love. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture, and as you look in this and as you dig in this particular passage in your Bible, you'll notice that John is really, truly overwhelmed with the fact that God loves him. He's overwhelmed with the fact that a God who is so amazing could be a God also that chose to set his affection on him and love him. And Brother Randy said it in his prayer, and it's absolutely biblically correct. We love him because he first loved us. And what a tremendous God he is. What a blessing it is to know him as your Savior if you're saved. If you do not know him as your Savior, I pray, I mean this, whether you're watching by internet tonight, right now, or you're in this room, I pray that you'll understand the simple fact that God loved you enough to die on a cross for you 2,000 years ago, to give his life, to be buried, to rise again. And he did that for you. And if you'll repent and you'll ask God to be your Savior and believe in that message, which is the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection, if you'll believe in him, the Lord Jesus, he'll save you, he'll change your life, and you indeed can be a living testimony of the grace of God in your life. So 1 John chapter 3, we're going to take a look at God's love. We'll say a few things that we said from last week just to kind of continue the thought. We'll start in verse 1. So please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, taking a look at God's love. So we'll dig right into this. John begins by saying in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Literally, the word son means children of God. Behold, what manner of love. I mean, think about that for a minute. Let that grab your heart. Let that grab a hold of you tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See, the world didn't understand Jesus, and they don't understand us that know Christ as our Savior and live out of that love, live out of the fact, and demonstrate the love of God. Jesus said, remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, love one another. He said, as I have loved you. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. And when we do that, the world can't comprehend it. They can't wrap their mind around who Jesus is and who we are when we've been changed by him. He says in verse 2, beloved, now are we, present tense, the sons, the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Tonight we'll focus in primarily on verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to be able to serve you, to worship you. And Father, we thank you again for Brother Phil Stevens. What a miracle. God, it's true. It's a miracle, Lord, that you chose to touch his body, and how you did it is a miracle. And you raised him up. And Lord, we praise your holy name. We pray you'll continue to be with Miss Melody. We do pray for them financially, that you'll provide their every need. And Lord, we'll praise you for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, as we've heard so many times of how Phil, once he was able to get off the ventilator and start speaking again, how he was really evangelizing that hospital and sharing the gospel with nurses and doctors and anyone he could talk to, Lord. And that just shows his heart. He cares about those people. And Father, we love you. We ask now you'll bless the remainder of our service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. I appreciate Miss Kathy singing for us tonight. That was beautiful. How many mission trips have you done in Romania? Tell me again. She's done 10 mission trips, medical mission trips. She's a nurse, and 10 mission trips. That's incredible. And but we appreciate her doing that, and really blessed her heart tonight. Appreciate that. You can tell Mike's been working with you on your singing. I appreciate him, Mike. You're just an amazing man, brother. I love you. He said it's been uphill all the way working with this. Ooh, we're going to have a marriage counseling immediately after service. But let's dig into this. So we see in the context of taking a look at God's love, we noticed last Wednesday night that the current reality is this. He says, and it's verse 1, he says, behold. And then he says in verse 2, beloved. He uses the word beloved. The word behold, we told you, but you remember, it means to really to fix our eyes upon. It means to dig in. It means to not just kind of do a casual glance. It means to honestly focus in your attention on, and the topic of choice in this context is the love of God. He wants you to really focus in on that. He wants you to see it. He wants you to not just do a casual glance, but really press in and grab a hold of it and look at it. So that's what he tells us. And then the word beloved, it's a word that means greatly loved. It means dear to the heart. So John wants you to know that if you know Jesus as your Savior, it is a tremendous, I mean, you not only know it from an experiential way, you know Christ. You see, Jesus died for the world, yes, and I truly believe that. He is a Savior, and he'll save anyone. But those of us that place our faith and trust in Christ, we experience a love that's really an intimate kind. It's a personal love. To know that, he's a Savior. Yes, he is. He's a Savior of the world. But if you're born again, here it is. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. Well, those that have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Bible tells us. So it's a current reality. Then John wants us to know that we are loved. We indeed are loved of God. It's a current reality. It's a great love. As we said, you're greatly loved. It's a God love. He tells us, for God so loved the world. God chose, literally, to set his affection on us. He chose to love us first. He chose to, to die on the cross for us. If you want to know how much God loves you, look no further than the cross of Calvary. I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous principle. It's a given love. God gave us his Son. It's a gracious love. It's a grandiose love. And we gave that word because of what it means. It means magnificent, monumental, and meaning great in importance, extent, or size. God's love is so amazing. It's truly almost, humanly impossible to fathom. It's hard to put your mind around. So, and again, if you've repented and believed the gospel to the saving of your soul, that is a current reality of your life. John says, behold what manner of love. And then he said there in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God. It is a current reality that we are God's child if we've been born again. And friend, if that doesn't bless you, I don't know what can bless you. But that is a current reality. And you're unconditionally loved. Absolutely unconditionally loved. One of the joys, and it's a Bible doctrine, but one of the joys of believing in what is called biblically, we refer to as the eternal security of the blood-bought believer, the doctrine of eternal security. One of the great joys of that is a simple fact that there is nothing you and I can do that can separate us from God's love. There's nothing you and I can do, John chapter 10, that can get us out of the Father's hand. The Bible said, Jesus said, you're in my hand. You're in the Father's hand. The Lord God has a hold of us. And the joy of that, you know, current reality that right now we have this eternal life. He tells us in verse 2, this coming expectancy that we kind of dug into a little bit last week. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But then notice this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It literally, there's an expectancy. You see, right now, we do live in a world. Not to discourage you, but we do live in a world where there's sickness. We do live in a world where there's pain. We do live in a world where there will be disappointment. There will be discouragement. We live in that kind of world. But aren't you grateful tonight that there's coming soon? I was actually talking to a lady recently, and we were talking and just kind of struck a conversation, and she was talking about Easter, and she goes, shouldn't it be a holiday? Shouldn't it be a recognized holiday in America? You know, she said, I mean, we have so many other holidays and you get a day off and all that. And I was like, well, I said, here's what we do know. I said, you know, Easter, I said, yeah, we call it the Resurrection Sunday because Jesus came out of the grave and, you know, he's a living Savior. But as we began to talk, and I was sharing with her the joy of knowing Jesus, and she says she knows the Lord and says she's a Christian lady. But this expectancy, you know, in the world of pain, in the world of sorrow, in the world of all kinds of disappointments, in the world of all kinds of stuff, and we even heard that this morning at the funeral, we serve a God, and John wants us to know, beloved, right now, we're children of God. But it doth not, literally one writer said in the context, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, which we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. What's the point? One writer said that we cannot even imagine what God has in store for us when he comes for us. So John wants us to grab a hold of the love of God. He wants us to really understand this, but this coming expectancy, what it does for us personally, we cannot even imagine what it's going to be like later on. We cannot even fathom what it's going to be like to see our Lord, but also see our loved ones that have died in Christ. What a glorious reunion. But it's all because of the love of God and the second coming of Christ. He mentions that as we dug in there. Prophetically, when he shall appear, verse 2, it's a reference to the second coming of Christ. There in that text, there's, you know, two parts of the second coming. There's the rapture, which is the next event, great event on the prophetic timetable, if you will, that Jesus is going to come. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's going to call his children home to be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. At the end of 7 years, he's going to come back, and that's known as the revelation. But the point being is Jesus Christ, he's coming again. And it's we see it powerfully, tells us there. When he shall appear, verse 2, we shall be like him. Wow, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, that's Jesus, as he is. So the glorious expectancy here, this powerful expectancy that Jesus Christ is going to come again, it ought to thrill our hearts. It ought to lift our spirits. It ought to put a smile on our face, put joy in our heart, put an expectancy. You say, yeah, but Pastor, it isn't always easy. No, you're right. This world's tough, man. I mean, let me give you a deep theological statement. This world is not for wimps. I mean, I'm telling you, it isn't. It isn't. It takes a lot, and sometimes it takes its toll on you. And trust me, I know that, and sometimes we personally don't manage stress well, but God helps us, and we're grateful for that. And we know he has a great plan, and he sees the beginning. He sees also the ending. But now I want you to dig in, and we're going to dig in for just a few minutes here on this, really a blessing. And as I stayed this out, it really blessed my heart. So we see this current reality. We see a coming expectancy. But now we're going to focus in on this continuous cleansing. We see a continuous cleansing in verse 3. Now again, it hinges on the fact that God loves us, right? Beloved, now are we the children of God. That's our current position. If you know Christ your Savior, let me also say this. It's our current position, but it is also, it's our eternal position. It's forever, right? We will always be, if you're born again, you'll always be a child of God if you've been saved. So, what a glorious statement. So, this continual cleansing, it's based on the love of God, but it's also hinged on that Jesus is coming again. But now notice what John says in verse 3 of our text. And he says, and every man that hath this hope, I love the word hope, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So here's a thought under this cleansing. Two things on it. Actually, we'll give you two things. There's perhaps a lot more, but we'll give you two. We'll focus on two. So the first thing we have, letter A, we have hope, right? Aren't you grateful that when Jesus, let me say it like this, Christianity really is, yes, it's a relationship, and I told that lady the other day when I was speaking to her, I said, Jesus, she was talking about religions, and I said, ma'am, again, I said, that's why I love Jesus. I said, he didn't come to establish religion. And we talked, and she was very kind, very friendly. And I said, ma'am, I said, we know that he didn't come to establish religion. And I said, we know that he came to bridge the gap between God and man. And you know all the statements I say. And I said, you know, it's about relationship, not religion and all this. And you know all that. I've told you that 1,000 times. But I'm really, truly grateful that it is a relationship. We have a relationship with God the Father through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when he saves us, positionally, yes, indeed, we have now. We have hope. And the Christianity is a full of hope relationship. It's a hopeful relationship, having Christ as your Savior. So now I want you to look at a couple passages of Scripture quickly. Just turn to the left in your Bible, and I want you to see some things here. Go to the book of 1 Peter. So if you turn left just a few pages, really, from 1 John, you'll find 1 Peter chapter 1. So, what do we hope in? I mean, when you think about Christ, and John says, you know, those of us that have this hope in us, we have Christ, we have the Lord in us, and we have the love of God poured out on us. We have an understanding, contextually in 1 John, we have an understanding that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, because of those things, we have this hope in us. It has a purifying. He tells us that. You know, it purifies us. He is pure. So, you know, believing in and understanding the love of God, understanding the second coming of Christ, understanding that we have a hope in Jesus. Now, based on that hope, what kind of hope do we have? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, the word lively means living, unto a lively, look at the next word, hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, under this continuous cleansing, we have hope. What do we have? What kind of hope is it? What is this hope based in? This hope is based in so many things, the love of Christ, the second coming of Christ. Again, we'll get to that in a second, but it's based in the resurrection. So this hope is a resurrection hope. Jesus Christ, I say it all the time, it's so important that you get a hold of this and you understand it biblically, that Jesus Christ is a resurrected Savior. We celebrate it. Yes, we'll celebrate it Sunday. It's a national day. We'll celebrate that. But as a believer in Jesus, hear me, as a believer in Christ who has been born again, and we have a eternal standing, we have a perfect standing before God, positionally we are eternally secure. But all of that said, we have hope in Jesus because he is a resurrected Savior. You say, preacher, you say that, it's redundant. No, no, no. I pray to God it never gets redundant. I pray to God that it never, ever gets, we never get complacent. I mean, press in and hear this. Did you hear this? Jesus Christ is alive. He is a living Savior. And literally, right now, literally, we know this. When Jesus died, you can see this in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus died on the cross, they buried his body. He come out alive 3 days later. He came out. This is important. It's important that you know this, especially with the History Channel trying to tell you different. He came out physically. He came out of the grave physically. He came out bodily. He walked out of that tomb. And when Jesus walked out of that tomb, we know biblically in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus, for a period, a literal period of 40 days, stayed on this earth. At the end of that 40-day period, he went back to the right hand of God the Father, and, which is phenomenal, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now you say, preacher, what's the significance of that? The significance is he sat down, which was absolutely powerful, indicating that his work now as the sufficient payment for your sin was completed. And now we know, 1 John tells us, that he, you know, in other portions of Scripture teach us, he's not only a propitiation, he's an advocate, but it also tells us that Jesus Christ, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is that, he is our go-between. He is the one. He's our high priest. He's the one that we can come to. He's the one that we can call out to. So, and it's based in the glorious of this, the glorious news of this, and the fact that believing in the hope of Christ, believing in this resurrected hope, believing in this love that he talks about, John tells us, believing in this second coming, it has a purifying effect. It should, all of these things should have a purifying effect on our life. Because Jesus loves me, really contextually, because Jesus loves me, that ought to motivate me to live a godly life. Can I get a witness in this building? Because Jesus loves me and he's coming for me, he chose to love me, because of all of that, it ought to motivate me to stay close and clean in my life. And so we see in 1 Peter, but now go to the book of Titus. Continue left in your Bible, just a handful of pages, just keep going left. It's you'll find Hebrews, and next you'll find Philemon, and then you'll find the book of Titus. Titus is a great chapter, a great portion of Scripture. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Again, we're taking a look at God's love tonight. And I hope, and it really, I mean this, I hope it encourages you. And in the context of that love, John ties it all. I mean, what a tremendous contextual thought. You know, he starts with love. He then goes to second coming. He then talks about we have a hope in us, right? And because we have that hope, it purifieth us. He purifieth himself. If any man have this hope in him, it purifieth himself even as he is pure. John, it's all tied to the love of God. You know, the fact that Jesus loves us so much, we have hope. We have a resurrection hope. We have a second coming hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, let me stop for a second. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. You know what I love about being a Christian? You can say no to sin. Think on that for a minute. Being a Christian, you can say no to sin. You don't have to give in to it. The Lord Jesus has put his power in you. He has the Holy Spirit of God. He's not a thing. He's a person, right? He's a third part of the Godhead. He's a precious person. And so John talked about it. Now Paul talks about it here in Titus, teaching us, verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You'll never live a godly life unless you say no to some things, period. You'll never live a godly life unless you learn to say no to some things. You know, and as a Christian, that's so important. You say, yeah, but preacher, that's what's wrong with Baptists. You can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And many times people have asked me that. Well, you're a Baptist. You can't drink, and you can't this, and you can't this. I'm like, listen, I can do all those things. But because Jesus changed my life, I choose not to do it. Right? Can I get a witness? It's not a matter of, well, you know, man, look at the bondage because you trusted Christ. You're a Christian. Look at the bondage that you have now. You have no idea the freedom that I have in Jesus now because he changed my life. Oh, that's a good word. I don't have to get drunk and puke out of my mind on Friday night and Saturday night to have a good time. I can get around God's people and we'll laugh. Brother Tommy Noel, you get around God's people and you start just talking and sharing blessing of God and sharing stories. And my wife says, be careful sharing those stories. She said to me the other day, and she learned this from Miss Nancy. I was talking to Toby, minding my own business. Me and Toby were talking. And I showed Toby something, and Toby and I started laughing. And my wife from the other room, Miss Nancy, from the other room, Leslie says, I know that laugh. And she's talking about me. She goes, I know that laugh. I said, what are you talking about, woman? She said, that's a no good laugh. I'm like, I didn't tell her, but I wanted to say, how'd you know? but anyway, I don't know how Leslie made the sermon, but she made the sermon. You say conviction. That's how Leslie made the sermon. No, yeah, probably right. He said we should live soberly. If you learn to say no to ungodliness, if you learn to continually say no to ungodly lust, worldly lust, he said we should live soberly, righteously, verse 12, and godly in this present world. Wow. Man, there's a sermon in there, Ryan, just in that one verse, buddy. There's a sermon there. A sermon in the fact that in an ungodly world, we can still live godly. Man, that's a good word. And then he says in verse 13, looking, look at that word again, looking for that blessed hope. Now, the blessed hope, that's Jesus. Jesus is, he is the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, it's almost like John, it's almost like Paul is shouting an anthem, the trumpet, if you will. Da 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 da. You know, like the messenger would go in before a city, the forerunner would go into a town before a king would come, and that forerunner's job was to prepare the people for the coming of the king that was coming. It's like Paul is just now kind of like a forerunner, like a messenger. He's saying, da 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 da, you know, we're looking for the glorious God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessed hope. That's the one we're holding on to, we're looking out for. Verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, buy us back. That's what the word redeem means. It means to be bought back. It means to be bought with a price. Jesus bought us out of. He did. He bought us out of that slave market of sin. You can say, yeah, but preacher, no, friend. Jesus Christ chose to buy us. He chose to die on the cross for us. He chose to give his life for us. And the glorious news is this. The glorious message is the fact that if you'll repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, you will experience love like you never fathomed, never imagined before. You'll experience a love just like that. He's an amazing Savior, I'm telling you. He's a wonderful God. Verse 14 and 15, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Look at this now. Paul uses the word purify. John just talked about this. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You see, in Paul's day, why would Paul say, you keep preaching it. You keep encouraging people with the message of the second coming of Christ. Don't you let anybody stop you from telling you that Jesus is coming again. In the first century, there was a scoffers and deniers and those that were absolutely trying to tell God's people that, oh, your Savior, he's done with you. He's not coming. This is all there is. All that you'll ever experience as far as anything you could ever know, as far as heaven, it's right now. Jesus is not coming. And Paul says, don't you dare let anybody tell you that he's not coming. You rebuke with all authority. Lord. You let them know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and he is absolutely. But right now, while he's away, right now the Holy Spirit of God is with us, and he is purifying God's people. He is making them a peculiar people. He has made them a people that is zealous. They have zeal to do good works for their Lord and Savior. We end now coming back to 1 John. So we have hope, this continuous cleansing that John writes about back in 1 John chapter 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. So we have hope, but then second of all, let her be real quick. We not only have hope, we have help. We have help. You see, the Bible tells us, and John says, every man that hath this hope, notice this now, in him. You got to have him in you. Every man that hath this hope in him, contextually, the love of God being poured out on you, the saving power of Jesus in your life, he's born you again. If you have Christ in you, you have help. You have help in the context. This hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. I'm glad tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that we have hope in Jesus. Brother Tommy, I'm thankful. I really mean this. I'm thankful. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I really don't. But I promise you, when he does come back, all of our problems are going to be over, Brother Tommy. They're all going to be over. And honestly, from a personal standpoint, all the things that I fret over, all the things that I worry about, and I'm just being honest. You say, preacher, you're not supposed to worry. The Bible said you're not to worry. You're right. You're 100% right, and I would amen that sermon. But I know sometimes, humanly speaking, I do that, and I'm not condoning that. I'm not. And listen, I'm not justifying my sin because that's what it is. But I know one thing. Jesus is coming again. All of our problems will be over. But here's what's glorious. He hasn't come yet, but he is. And by the way, let me speak into that for a minute. For those, preacher, you're foolish to believe in that Jesus is coming back. I believe, and I know perhaps you may as well, we believe in what the Bible supports as the imminent return of our Lord and Savior. What that simply means is all the signs are pointing to that Jesus could come back soon. And I truly believe that. Y'all love watching the Weather Channel. Can I get a witness in the building? Good message, Brother Tracy. It's a great man. You guys don't like, well, I like watching the Weather Channel. You like watching the Weather Channel, Mike? Why didn't you amen it then when I said I like watching the Weather Channel? Mike's a closet Weather Channel watcher. Pray for him. I've been delivered, right? But I started to say I've come out of the closet, but that's probably not a good phrase to use. You got to be careful of the phrases you use. But anyway, you're welcome. As you know, when we talk about the imminent return of our Lord, you watch the Weather Channel, and they're constant. I love doing this, especially, you know, I learned that, I think starting around May 7th, let me encourage you, starting around May 7th till end of August is our severe weather time of year. So just be prepared for that. See, you can use sermon material. You can get sermon material from the Weather Channel. But anyway, they're great theologians on there, is what you'll learn. But what they'll tell you, you know, sometimes you'll wake up in the morning, you always see this report, and I just do. Normal people might not do this, but I'll do this. And they'll say, oh, well, it's a number in this area. They'll map out a region. They'll say in this area, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, there's like a 6 out of 10 chance that there's going to be a tornado in this area. Or there's, man, if it's really bad. And sometimes, and you can validate this, you can amen this for me, Mike. And thank you, brother. Thanks for waking him up, Kathy. I appreciate that, huh? But sometimes they'll put, man, there's an 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. It's almost absolute certain that there's going to be a tornado in this area. And you know what? Honestly, and you're going to be shocked by this, most of the time, they're right on that. What are they saying? They're saying that a tornado based on, press in and hear this, based on all the signs, based on all of the investigation of those signs, a tornado is imminent. Ladies and gentlemen, based on all the investigation of Scripture, based on all what Jesus tells us, wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of earthquakes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I promise you, on the authority of the Bible, the coming of Jesus, it's a 10 out of 10. He's coming, man. And you got to rest assured. But you say, Pastor, he's coming. What do I need to do? Let it thrill your heart. Let it motivate you. Let it make you zealous for Jesus. Let it put zeal in your heart. Let it put zeal in your actions. If we're going to do anything for Jesus, we have got to do it now. Now we got to do it. We can't wait. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another week. We're not promised another tomorrow. But one thing we have are certain of is right this moment, we can live like Jesus is coming. And we can tell everybody that we know Christ. We can be like Phil Stevens when he wakes up out of a coma from sickness. And as soon as he can talk, he starts telling people about his Lord. You say, Preacher, yeah, but I'm no preacher. No, but you should be a reacher. Can I get a witness in the building? You should be a reacher. You should be reaching out with the gospel of Christ and telling people that, hey, my Savior's coming. This would be a good day. Jeff Fane used to tell me and would talk about me. I think he said him from this pulpit. He said his granddaddy would often say to him, and he was a young man, he'd say, oh, this could be the day. What, Papa? Well, oh, this could be the day that our Lord comes. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you would be biblically accurate when you wake up in the morning saying, this could be the day that our Lord comes. This could be the day that Jesus Christ splits the eastern skies and the trumpet sounds and he calls us up to be with him. And you say, Preacher, well, how can I meet Jesus? You'll only meet him as far as in the second coming of Christ if you're born again. And sweet friend, you do not have to die lost in your sins. You can place your faith and trust in Christ. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Randy's going to come and lead us in a song. Miss Tina's going to come and play for us. But if the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray. Whatever God would have you to do tonight, we give you an opportunity. What's your number, Brother Randy?
Page number 298.
298.